Father, we thank you for this evening. We give you thanks for your word. And we ask that right now that word would speak to each one of us in the powerful way that only you can. Amen. I wonder if you ever think about your life and think, what's going on? What's actually happening? What am I even doing? Can God do anything with me? Do we ever look at the future and think there's so much uncertainty? We certainly do in this country right now, don't we? Maybe even we look into the coming week with uncertainty. And if we've been going through these visions that Zechariah receives, we see the ways that God speaks to Zechariah and shows him what he is doing. One of the themes that keeps coming up during these visions is the realization that God is actually at work, even in those places where we don't think he is, where we think nothing's going on. These visions which Zechariah received, apparently all in one night, have been about God's rebuilding of their nation. They've just returned from 70 years of slavery in the northern country of Babylon. And here, God is saying, I will be at work. I am at work. He's going to be rebuilding the temple. Can we remember the 7 other visions that we've gone through? Flying scroll. Woman in the basket. That's the 2 most recent ones. Golden lampstand. Richard's looking in his Bible. Golden lampstand. Sorry? Plumb line. Yep. Clean garments. Remember that? Talked about Wimbledon, didn't I? Four horns and four craftsmen. What's the other one then, Richard? Seems you've got it in front of you.
The myrtle tree.
The myrtle tree, yeah. That was the very first one back in May. And so we come to the very last one of these, the very last vision. In some ways, it sounds quite familiar to the first two. The prophet lifts his eyes and sees 4 chariots coming forth from 2 mountains. It all sounds quite grand and emphatic, doesn't it? These 2 mountains are very probably Mount Zion and Mount Olive, viewed as the ideal mountains and the place where God's judgment would go all over the world. As well as this, there's the explanation that between these 2 mountains lies the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which means the Lord judges. We read this in Joel chapter 3. I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, my people Israel, because they scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land. A real symbol of God's power and what God is going to do in the future here. And so the prophet asks, what are these, my Lord? Have you noticed quite often in these visions, the prophet doesn't really seem to know what's going on. He's asked, do you know what these are? And always the answer is no. I find that quite comforting, quite reassuring, because when we look at them and find it a bit confusing, we know that Zechariah himself found it confusing as well. These are the 4 spirits of heaven going out from standing in the presence of the Lord of the whole world. Signs of God's provision, God's messengers looking to carry out his own will. Almost certainly this is referring to the chariots of God, the thousands upon thousands, which are mentioned in Psalm 68. And as I said, there's that resemblance to the first of these visions, that of the reports of the Gentile nations. And now with these visions drawing to a close, we see God's chariots being sent forth to carry out judgments on those he's displeased with. The number, 4 chariots, bringing to mind the Gentile world powers, whose successive course made up the times of the Gentiles, the final overthrow, bringing about the restoration, the blessing of Israel, and the establishment of the Messianic kingdom, the ultimate triumph of Christ, what Christ would do. And you know, in the time of Zechariah, things weren't going well. He'd witnessed some bad times. Can we remember the phrase that I mentioned a few times that described the rebuilding of the temple? The creeping feebleness, Pat got it again. The creeping feebleness about the effort for the rebuilding of the temple. There's also significance in the colour of the horses. Whilst the chariot with red horses is passed over, the one with the black and white horses is described as going forth into the north country, and the one with dappled horses towards the south. These horses, closely connected with the powers whose empires make up the signs of the times of the Gentiles, the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, the Grecian and the Roman. Those who would defeat God's people would then be defeated. Of course, the Babylonian one's already been overthrown, and the black horses are probably significant, a significant symbol as to the mourning of the judgment that would be inflicted. You know, the last two visions we've looked at, I've looked at God's judgment and a warning about God's judgment. In a lot of ways, it was quite grim. When we look at them, we see its promises being fulfilled from God and the promises and the reward for those who follow him. What's very clear here, God's not only at work in the present, God's already got the future sorted out. God's already secured the future. God has the future in his hands. If you're anything like me, that can be a bit unsettling, because I like to have things in my own hands to know what's happening. I'd like to see what's going on ahead. I like to be in control. But ultimately, God is in control and has the future. God has the best plans, the plans for the perfect future, a future that is secured. Is that comforting? Is that reassuring? Especially in the uncertainty that we might face. God has the future secured. And as God's people today, we're waiting for the fulfillment of further promises. We see God's promises being fulfilled right through Scripture. We'll come to that a bit later on. Some of these promises from the Old Testament prophets which have already been fulfilled, and those that we are waiting to be fulfilled. You know, quite often we might watch movies or read books or films, and the hero, we're wondering what's going to happen to them. But we know that they survive because they're going to appear in the next episode. Unless it's Captain Scarlet, of course, in which case, even if they die, they appear in the next episode. Zechariah has been given promises about what's going to happen, the assurance of the future. What God has got lined up. God's got great things lined up in the future for us. But that ultimate triumph, that ultimate victory is already secured in Christ. And with all these different visions that we've been looking at, constantly we ask the question, what is going on? What is going on? It can be easy to look at this world with all the uncertainty and wonder, where is God? And yet what we see right the way through these visions, God's got the future secure. God's got it all planned out. God has won the battle. At the beginning, I asked the question, do we ever think about our lives and think, what's going on? Those questions, is God at work? And yes, we've all had those experiences probably of looking back and seeing where God was at work, even when we didn't realise. God is at work. God wins the battle. Christ achieved the ultimate victory on the cross. The victory over sin and death. And see how all these themes throughout the visions are brought together. Brought together to confirm what Christ would do. Jesus coming into this world and achieving victory on the cross. Getting rid of sin and death forever. God's promises being fulfilled. How precious is it for us to know God is at work in the world today. Our world leaders, God is at work there. We need God to be at work. God is working. God is there on the future. Those people in our own lives that we know, God is at work in their lives, even where we may not see it. We read a few weeks ago about those clean garments, that clean bill of health that God promises for us if we trust in Jesus. But also the warning about what would happen to evil and ignoring God. And then we finally hear, God going forth to bring triumph over every form of evil. All of this points to the coming of Christ, to the victory of Christ. How amazing is that? This was written probably about the 6th century BC. and how all of this would be fulfilled in Jesus. Surely we should be encouraged by that triumph, by what Jesus has done. Those things we might be worried about in the world today, those things in our own lives we might be worried about, God has taken care of it. The future is secure with Him. The New Testament scholar D.A. Carson says, God in Christ stripped from the powers of evil their hold over the lives of humans. Evil no longer has a hold on us. Christ has set us free. We can walk in triumph daily because of what He has done for us. Is that good news that we can rejoice in today? Walking in triumph daily. You know, there's a story of a man who walked through the park and he passed by this massive oak tree. He did this for a number of years, walking past this big oak tree. And at the start, a small vine had begun to grow up around this tree. At first, it was nothing to bother about. But over the years, this vine got taller and taller. And then at one stage, he passed by it. And the entire lower half of this tree was gripped by this vine. This tree was in danger here. The life of this oak tree could have been squeezed out of it. And yet the gardeners of this park had already seen the danger and cut off the vine at the stumps. And although the vine was still there, it was now dead. It no longer had a hold over this tree. And because of Jesus, sin no longer has a hold on us. That sin that hinders and so easily entangles, we are free from. That future is secure. Do we want to remember those promises? God is at work. God is at work in this world and in our lives. For all the uncertainty that we have, we can rejoice that by trusting in Jesus, we have the eternal victory. 1 Corinthians 15. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah was in a time of so much uncertainty, a lack of promise, and yet God said, I am at work. I have the future secure. His plans are greater than any of the ones that we could have, any of the ideas and thoughts that we could have. God has the ultimate victory. God has that future secure. And so for all of us, we can walk each day in triumph and in security that Jesus has won the battle. Shall we pray? Father, we give you thanks for all that you do for us, for your love for us, and because of that, Jesus went to the cross to claim the ultimate victory. And we thank you that for all the worries that we have today, we know that you have secured the ultimate victory. You have secured the triumph. And for us, we do not need to worry about the future because it's in your hands. And so I pray for each one of us for the places that we go to. We can do so in confidence and in the assurance that you have gone there before us. Amen. And before